So first, happy Chinese New Year. Happy New Year. Last night, we have a good gathering over the other side, the sanctuary, quite a few people came, and we have a nice celebration. So this is the second day of the Chinese New Year, so I wish you a happy New Year, 2017. And what's the year, this year of the rooster? I'll call it the year of the gamecock. Gamecock, our mascot is Gamecock, so hopefully this is our year in terms of sport team, we'll win a lot of games. I wish. So every year, especially when I was in high school, a lot of people went shopping for flowers, trees, New Year trees, and they try to stay up until over 12 o'clock, receiving the New Year. I was a little bit particular. Usually, on the day New Year Eve, I usually sleep early. I would like to wake up very early in the morning because most people just went to bed and then could not wake up so early. So when I wake up, it was very early in the morning, and I look at the street. The street is all empty. So it seems the whole world belonged to me. And I used that time, this quiet time, to make New Year resolutions. Brothers and sisters, in 2017, do you have some resolutions to make? So that morning, when I woke up and make resolutions, I said, okay, this is the 10 items I would like to achieve. So 1 year passed, the next day, the next year, again, the New Year day, when I woke up, what happened? I review what I've talked about last year, and few of them actually achieved. So I have to make resolutions again. I don't know whether it is you have this problem or not. Sometimes you need to make a lot of resolutions, but you achieve very few. It's just very difficult to change. Habits, characters, is difficult to change. How do you change your habits? I don't know how many of you are patients of the illness called procrastination. I was a serious patient of procrastination in the past. And this is the UT Austin, University of Texas Austin, where I studied my doctoral program. And in the third year, when I wrote my dissertation, I went to the library. And as a doctoral student, we have the privilege of having a small room for us to write dissertation. So every morning, I went to this small room. And facing this big, big task of dissertations, I tried to avoid it. So instead of writing this dissertation right on, I just read the newspaper, do other things, and just do all other things except the dissertation. And giving myself a good excuse saying that I'm warming up. So I warm up, it took about two hours to warm up. By 12 o'clock, okay, it's 2 hours past already. I have a deep sense of guilt feeling. So it gets very, very nervous. So this anxiety, the level of anxiety, I cannot achieve a lot of things. And by the evening, I find out that I have achieved very few things that day. So when I go home, it's usually very late, all this decision is doing in my mind. Of course, my rest was not good. So next day, I could not wake up very early morning. So not in good spirit, I went to the library and I give my excuse, I need to warm up again. And now 2 or 3 hours pass, I have done nothing. And the guilt feeling pile up. And that becomes a vicious cycle. Does it sound familiar to you? This is a victim of procrastination. How do you change? It's just very difficult to change old habits. Difficult to change. There are two famous scholars. One is called Timothy Lean, the other is called Paul Tripp. He talked about some basic principles of biblical counseling. Of course, there are deep principles of biblical counseling. What I want to do is just to glean some of the messages they gave us. For details, you need to be trained in this area. You need to study biblical counseling. But at least for us laymen, you understand what the key clicks that help you change. What the principle help to make people change. They use the passage, Jeremiah 17, 5 to 14. Instead of reading, we'll go right into the passage because of time. This passage, Jeremiah, is talk about the time when there was the southern kingdom. Judah was under attack. The prophet here is the weeping prophet. His name is Jeremiah. Why was he a weeping prophet? Because he wept all the time. Why? Because he was facing a daunting, a very challenging task. On one hand, God wants him to warn the people that you sin, and then if you do not repent, then the Babylonians will come to invade you and defeat you, and eliminate you. But on the other hand, God told him that these people will not listen. So why do I still send me? Why do you still send me? Because he's a bear witness that through the old, all the generation, the future generation, they know that I warned them already, but they still resist my message. And that's why this prophet is a weeping prophet, because he sent a message and knowing that his people would not listen and they will see the decline of their own country and the perishing of their people. God sent to him. So we're using the three-question method of Bible study to look at this passage. And when you look at the Bible, usually there are three simple ways to look at a passage. We ask three questions. One is, what's the human conditions revealed by this passage? The second one is, what kind of God's character or his act will reveal in this passage? And then, because of the difference between human status and God's character, how should human respond? So these are three simple questions. Usually when you look at a passage like that, you gain some insights. So using these three methods, let's go to the passage once again. 17, 5 to 14. Let's read that together. 5 to 8. Let's read together. This is what... So here in the first passage, talk about human conditions. How was condition like in that kingdom right now? Because people felt that they're just like bush in the wastelands. It's all dry, no water, no food. Life getting very tough. So what did they think? What's the reason? They think, oh, maybe our army was too weak, so we cannot defend ourselves. Or maybe it's just bad luck. So what did they do? They seek strength from flesh and hearts turn away from the Lord. They seek maybe diplomacy. They may build up an army to fight enemies. But God told them, that's not the major reason. The major reason is that you are away from Him. So that's the human condition. So here at the Southern Kingdom, here in Judah, at that time, it was under attack, a threat from the enemies. So let's look at God's character, the passage. This is from 9 to 11. May I ask the ladies, our sister, to read that? The heart is deceitful. What's God's character? God's character, God's ability is that He can discern, look through people's hearts, and also punish those unrighteous people. And that is the righteousness, justice of God. That's the God's character. He's going to see through our hearts and also mete out justice to those who misbehave. So that's God's conditions. So it reminds Jeremiah used this message. This is the problem of you being the bush in the wasteland, being dry. It's actually not because of your weakness of the enemy. It's actually it's your heart. Look, reflect upon yourself. Look at your own heart. It's your heart conditions. Because you're a wicked heart. You do a lot of bad things to people. You oppress the weak. Okay? You're not just in judging cases. And you worship idols. All this brought to to the decline of the countries is because your heart. Interestingly, there's a parable here. I talk about the patriot hatching eggs. It seems to be this little bird is very strange. It likes to hatch other people's eggs. So they've raised on them, and hopefully when the eggs and the chick comes out, it will recognize she has a mother.
Wait, then how do mother partridges?
Will not work. Actually, because will not call her the mother. So what this passage means that riches that do not belong to you, try to grab it. It's not going to go to you. In the middle of your age, all this will be gone. So you try to make money in the correct way. You don't just steal money, do bribery, corruptions, oppress the weak, steal from the poor. You need to be fair. Human response. How does the real human respond to these conditions? Let's read that together, 12 to 14. Let's go. The way humans respond is first look into your heart. The source of problem is not the environment, it's not the enemies, but your dark, black heart, evil heart. So looking inside and looking up. Looking up there on the throne, the glorious throne where God is located, and we sit and cry out, "Heal me, Lord. Heal me. Help me." So simple three simple questions. Get the gist of this passage. Now let's go to Timothy Lane and Paul Tripp. These two counselors, famous psychiatrists, use this passage to talk about some of the basic principles of counseling, biblical counseling. Of course, I'm not expert, so if you need to, you have to study and you have to have experts to help. But at least you get a basic idea. How do people change? If you like, you can read the book. It's a very useful book. The book is exactly entitled called How People Change. And in this book, he uses this passage. They lay out this simple diagram. A picture is worth thousands of words. A simple picture actually matches some very important principles of biblical counseling. Here you can see there are two types of trees. On the right-hand side is a thorn. It's the bush and the wasteland. On the left-hand side is a good tree planted in the water. And then up there, there's heat. The sun comes out. And then down there is a cross. And there's river on the left-hand side. So using this passage, Timothy Lane and also Paul Tripp talk about some of the human conditions we are facing and how do we get out of the problems. How do we change our behavior? How do people change? The first concept is the heat, when heat comes. So here, let's read that together. The peasants would be like bush in the wastelands. So the first concept, Tim Lane and Paul Tripp remind us, is about the heat. The thorns will complain, why did it get so dry? Why did I have no fruit? Because of the heat. If the sun is shining too bright and there's no water, that's why I got dry. I get only thorns. I get only thorns, no fruit, because of the heat. Back in the mini-gospel camp, there was one sister. She shared her testimony. She said she was raised from a broken family. Although her parents did not get a divorce, their parents seldom talked to each other at all. So it's a broken family. As a result, she did not feel warm in her family. She tried to get away from the home as soon as possible. Indeed, she got an opportunity to come to the United States and study. She was successful in getting away from the home, the broken family. But she was in a deep heart, deep desire for love. So she started dating a boyfriend. But after a lot of struggles, a lot of try, after several years, her boyfriend dumped. So what happened? She was in a deep stage of depression. She has no spirit to strive on. She did not want to study. She did not want to wake up in the morning because she was all depressed. So the doctor prescribed some antidepressant medicine to help her. She was becoming very dependent on the antidepressant. The dosage became bigger and bigger. But did not heal her because she just relied on the medicine every day. And if she did not take it, she got into a big depression again. Now that's the problem. No fruit, all the thorns. Life is full of all the thorns. So what can she blame? She can blame the heat. It's the broken family. It's my parents' fault. If I'm raised in a warm family, well, there was no problem like that. It's because of heat. Wait a minute. There's another person called Ronald Reagan. You know, Donald Trump is now the president. He's Republican. In the Republican era, one of the most respected persons recently is Ronald Reagan. Because at the end, in the 80s, when Carter was administration, United States, Americans are in a very low mood. At any time, Americans were faced with the Iran hostage crisis. And the economy was not doing well. So every people was very, very, very sad. Very bad about it. And Ronald Reagan, being an actor, when he came, he injected a level of optimism. We Americans are great. There's hope. He's an actor. He knows how to act. So his speech, he elevated, uplifted the spirit of America. Let's try again. It's this level, this air of optimism, push American forward. You know what? He was from a broken family. I watched a documentary about his life. He was from a broken family. When he was young, he did not have a good family. He had two choices. Either he do what? Get depressed. Or he said, tomorrow will be better. He got himself some hope. Otherwise, he could not live. So he always look at the bright side. Tomorrow will be better. So he strive on and on, work hard, later on become an actor, not very successful, but become a governor. And then what? The president. Because of this level of optimism, keep pushing on. And then what? When we become president, he inject this optimism to America. How come it's the same broken family that had the sons? Don't just blame the people. Don't just blame the environment all the time. You have to reflect upon your own heart. Yes, the environment will have some problems, but it's not just the environment. It's the same thing. Different response have different conditions. So, what the Bible says, understand there's actually bush. The bush under the sun is waste land, there's no water, all dry, only forms, no fruit. But on the other side, if the tree is under water, photosynthesis, more seed, more sun, it's actually better. More photosynthesis, more fruit, more quicker growth. The leaves are all green. How come it's the same sun, same heat? There are different consequences. So a deep question to ask is, who are you? What kind of tree you are? Are you a thorn or are you a good tree? Don't just blame on the environment. Here, look at the thorns. Without a good tree, you plant it, there's no water. Of course, it came all the thorns. So how do I change from being thorns to a good tree? Now that I understand it, well, I cannot just blame the heat, but also blame upon myself. There's something in me that Well, the way that I respond is not the right way I respond. As a result, they bought bad consequence game and there's no fruit. But how can I change it into a good tree? You have a heart surgery. You need a heart surgery. Okay, let's read that together. The heart. The Lord said, just like Jeremiah said it, you need to, the Israelites, you have to seek your heart. It's not because outside the enemy is attacking, it's deep in your side, inside you. You have a black heart. So the thing to change it is to change the black heart in the red. You have to have a heart operation. You have to change. How do you change? How can you change from the right-hand side to the left-hand side? From a bomb into a good tree? It's the cross. Let's get it together. A glorious throne, exalted from the beginning. Heal me, Lord. Look at your own heart, the black heart, at the same time. Lift your eyes and look at the throne. See, God is sitting on the throne, and I say that it cried out, Lord, heal me. I'm sick. Come back to the cross. That's the key. What do you mean changing heart? You know that before human sin, when we're in the Adam and Eve spirit, when there's no sin, we were all good trees. But once we depart, we obey God, then when sin came to this world, good trees become bad trees. Then with its bad body, sinful bodies, we are trapped. That's why a lot of sinful things came. You try to do good, you have no strength. Because you're trapped in that sinful body. So how do you change that? And Jesus came and died for our sins. And since Jesus died for our sins, then the righteousness served, the penance paid. Then God can come to us. Then with God with us, we die with Jesus and rise with Jesus. And you become a good tree. How many of you have witnessed baptism before? Baptism. So most of you have, right? What does baptism mean? Why do people, when the persons go to the water and rise again? The golden water means what? Buried with Christ. Your old body die, and then rise up with what? Christ is in me. Rise with the Lord. We call born again. What's born again? Die to the old self, simple self, and then rise again with Jesus Christ. Earlier, I mentioned about the testimony about the girl. She was from a broken family. Her boyfriend dumped her. She got very depressed. She depends on antidepressants. And one of her friends introduced her to the Bible study in Greenville area. Bible study, super good. And there's one sister care for her a lot. So she started feeling love and care among this small group. She started defending her habit to go to this Bible study. She feels this love and care. And as she read the Bible, she understands the pilgrim conditions and understands the love of Christ. And one day, she prayed to accept Christ. And after she received Christ, her life changed. She becomes more optimistic, not just all depressed all the time. She started like going to school. She liked to come to Bible study. And then, gradually, there's no need for any depression anymore. This human. Why? Yes. You die to the old self and rise again with Jesus Christ. We talk about conversions. People come to Christ. So if you have not really come to Christ, one thing that we need to do is to accept Jesus Christ as a personal Savior. Understand you are a sinner. You died and rise again with Him. But that's only the beginning. We still have the rule of sanctification. Being a Christian, converted Christian, is only a starting point. We still have to go step by step, going up, march up, step by step. That's why that dying on the cross is every day. So every day you have to facing your own self. You see there's no good, then you put out the old self and put on the new self. So let us read this passage, Ephesians 4:20-24. Let's read it together. You were
taught when you are in the full of your life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the spirit of your mind, and to put on the new self, created to be in true righteousness and holiness.
So being Christians, you don't just convert and become Christians. You have to do it every day. It's the morning devotion. That's why in our discipleship class, if we emphasize so much, we cultivate Brother's habit of having morning devotions. Morning devotion is not just reading Bible. Morning devotion is facing God, facing the glorious God on the throne and ask God, I would like to die. Die to my old self and put you on every day. Change me. Not by my own might. It's just by I'm planting in you, living by you, living by the water. You have to plant this good tree in the water in order to have fruit. Let's read that together. They will be like a tree. To be a good tree, good tree in nature is important, but another condition is what? Always planting into the water. Otherwise, even its good tree with all the sun, you still have no fruit. So as Christians, you have to plant yourself in the water every day. Otherwise, people do not see fruit in you. There are basically two types of Christians. Some Christians, when they first receive Christ, they get very excited. But after several years, their Christian life becomes routine. So after many years of conversion, being come to Christ, you don't see much change. Other Christians, you didn't see this contagion, just for life, energy, passion. And they become more and more resembling Christ. How come both have accepted Christ, but there are different consequences? Because in the latter part, they always plan in the end. They draw things every day from the Lord. So brothers and sisters, if you do not have a habit of morning devotion, do that. Otherwise, you're a good tree, but no fruit. You've got to plant yourself always in the water. Because the sun is very hot. You've got to have water from the tree in order to bear good fruit. So by doing that, then your life is what? Fruit of good fruit and to glorify God. Let's read that together. For the fruit of the Spirit. We need to glorify God. Our life belongs to God. Our life belongs to God. We need to bear fruit to God with God. How do you bear fruit? Like I said, spiritual fruit, goodness fruit. How do you get that fruit? You have to be in the Lord every day. Otherwise, after several years, your life, your spiritualization is like a routine matter. You go to church every Sunday, you do your own things, but people do not see changes to you. Your old habits are still there. You're still very temperamental. You still procrastinate. You do not change because you do not plan in the water. That's my problem. Procrastination. So how do I deal with that? I said, God, you have to help me. I need to finish my dissertation, otherwise I cannot graduate. So help me. So I have to pray. I have to pray. And I also learned the technique. The big dissertation is very tough. Then I cut into small pieces. You know, the easy part is to write the methodology. Methodology is very, it's hard text, right? It's not just using what variables, what technique. It's easily written. So when you write the first part, you pat your head. Yeah, good job. You encourage yourself. I did something already. So In the morning when I go there, I start to pray and say, I have to face this problem head on. Don't just warm up. Don't just warm up. Just head on. Just give yourself 1 hour, 2 hours work. After 1 or 2 hours work, even if you do not do that, you pay yourself. Hey, I have tried it already. So it's time for me to enjoy watching news and reading news again. So every day you do a little things. You head on. You pray for God, pray for strength, and attack it head on. And break in small pieces, and then what happened? And then I gradually get more and more confident because I can finish more and more, a little bit together. Hey, I'm two-thirds done already. Good job. I tell myself, good job. Go on. And I finish it. And also lead a balanced life. Not doing dissertation all the time. You need to go rest, exercise. More important, rise early to join things from the God. Devotion. So I'm right now very efficient. Super productive. How? Every morning. I do devotion because I have depend on the water. So today, using two scholars, Lane and Tripp, I tell you some basic principles how people change. Don't just blame the heat. Yes, environmental factors really influence our life, but don't blame the heat because the same condition will change the different stuff. So first, you have to be awakened. You're aware that in you, there's something you have to deal with. When the heat comes, you understand that you may be the bush in the wastelands. Then what? Come to the cross and say, God, I want to die in you and rise in you. I want to turn into a good tree. Not just like turn into a good tree, I have to stay in you, in the water all the time. Because I want to glorify. So happy new year again. And hopefully you make your new decisions, resolution, and then you can change. Let's bow our heads and pray. Thank you, God, for getting us here, the new year Sunday, to worship you. Give us strength to face you. Give us new resolutions. Not just depend on us, but come to the cross every day. Die to our old self and put on the new self. The new self is made in your image, changes, transforms us from us into you, just like you, more and more like you, to bear spiritual fruit, to glorify you. We pray for all the youngsters, all the brothers here. May we all have a wonderful year, bear more spiritual fruit, and be closer to you and more resembling you. We pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.